home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Toss of Baltimore. We are Baltimore, positively into a Labor Day week, getting ready for real football around here. No more fake football and baseball, and also real Maryland crab cakes. We're going to be at the Costas and Timonium on Monday. We're going to be down at Sláinte having some delicious gumbo on Tuesday because it is our 27th anniversary. Luke, I changed the logo. You can see it right here. Our 27th anniversary. 27 of my favorite things to eat. And they're going to be coming fast and furious in the coming weeks, especially if you're out on social media as well. We put some pictures up, some food up, some places for you to go. But one last week of summer we got here before I get to the Raven scratch-offs. I got the Lucky Seven Stubblers as well as the Fresh Your Lucks. I'll be giving these out this week at Coco's on Wednesday. That is our final Maryland Crab Cake Tour stop. And I saw Marcella and her mom and her family over Coco's, their 40th anniversary, 27. I've got gray hairs coming in here, but 40 years at Coco's. They've even given me a beautiful glass to replace the Pizza John's glass that I broke a couple weeks ago in my hand with an orange crush. I was at Pizza John's on Friday. Great conversations there. Ray Bachman made a cameo and just was in Essex eating pizza. So, serendipity is alive and well around here. Wendy Bronfein from Curio stopped by, as well as two Republican electeds, David Marks, Councilman, Baltimore County, as well as J.B. Jennings, State Senator. Everybody in Harford County knows J.B. He's bought everybody a beer and a crab cake, I think, at some point. So, I bought him some pizza. So, actually, I got him a cheesesteak because cheesesteak was on the list. Luke Jones is here. I did not know that contracts for young players were on the list. And this Basayo thing, like, I haven't said a word about it on the internet. What can I say? The guys hit the ball in the minor leagues. So did Kobe Mayo. So did Keston Kersley. I go through all the list of all of the Jim Fullers and Drungo Hazewoods and Ken Gerharts and Adley Rutschmans and Matt Wieters and other guys that were supposed to go to the Hall of Johnny Bench and wound up in the, Hall of Dave Duncan or something like that. These are desperate people, this Rubenstein guy, showing up at press conferences now in the middle of football games. Like, they don't know what they're doing down there at all. And, like, I've gone around town now the last 2 days, and I've had a couple people come up to me who love baseball. Somebody Saturday said to me, "They don't know what they're doing, do they?" And I'm like, "No, they're just trying to win the popularity contest. Because Katie's got to keep her job and Elias got to keep his job." I don't know, dude. Giving a dude $70 million when he's had 10 at bats. I don't know. It may wind up that he's Johnny Bench and he's the real one and they got it right. But if they do, he's gonna want to hold out in year six or seven. If he winds up being Mike Trout, they're gonna have to pay him more money at some point anyway. I guess that's the way they see it. But this is really curious and weird to me. And I think to myself, when I got the text from you and I saw everything happening, I thought, well, he's the young person at the party who this is a lot of money for. And he has a different kind of agent and he's attainable for them. And they can bring him back and say, "We did something," even if he only hits 240 the next 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm going to completely disagree from the standpoint of this is great news for the Orioles. This is very smart business, and that's with acknowledging that yes, there's risk involved, as there is when you're going to give any player an 8 or a 10 or a 15 mil or a 15-year contract, right? I mean, that absolutely there's risk involved with this, but this is also what people have been clamoring for. Now,
But if they had given Rutschman this deal, would it smell good now? If they gave Jonathan Scope the deal
well,
that I wanted
but
them to
you,
give, like, I just
okay,
think it's.
but then you don't give anyone an extension.
I understand that. And I'm not saying it's irresponsible. I think it's a great debate. This is a fair, bipartisan, down the middle debate between you and I as to whether this is good business or just a pelt to put on the wall to make to be able to say we did something. Because
Well,
I don't know that he can play yet. I mean, I don't. Nobody knows.
I understand that, but you also you have to project, right? I
What if
mean.
they gave this to Kobe Mayo?
But you could say the same thing about taking Jackson Holliday first overall. You can say the same thing about
It ain't my
the,
money, so I mean, there's a
but I'm
part of
just
it like
saying
that.
there's always going to be some of that. I mean, when the Nationals took Bryce Harper first overall, I mean, we had heard about Bryce Harper for 2 or 3 years at that point. Remember, he was on Sports Illustrated's cover when he was still in high school, right? There's always risk. I mean, you can't have You can't make a move that's going to pay dividends without some risk. I mean, there's no looking into a crystal ball.
Well, look at what the Rays did. They gave that money to that idiot that was out, pedophile, literally, right?
The shortstop, yeah, sure. But you look at the year by year breakdown, and this was reported, what, late Friday, I think it was, when it first came out. It's $1 million next year. It's $1 million the following year. Okay, so this is still sounding like pre-arbitration, right? I mean, not exactly, but you understand my point. It's $1 million in 2028. All right, we're still talking his first 3 years pre-arbitration. $4 million in 2029. Okay, first year of arbitration. Even if he's just a decent ball player, he's going to get that. Even if he's just okay, he's going to get that easily. And that's not knowing what the new CBA is going to look like and all of that. I mean, we're projecting out a lot here, but $7 million in 2030. All right. 2031, $11 million. And then this is what this deal is really about, right? The first 6 years of team control, you have that. Whether you want to use it or not, you have that. But this
It's a
is about,
21-year-old kid. They put
it is.
$70 million in front of him. He took it.
Right. But you're talking about 2032 and 2033, $15 million apiece. Now, if Samuel Basayo doesn't work out at all, yeah, that $30 million is kind of flushed down the drain. But if he's good, and again, we're talking 7 years from now with inflation and salaries and not knowing what new TV will look like and all of that, if he's good to really good or an absolute stud, you're doing cartwheels over those two deals or those 2 years.
I think
And
it's a
that,
fine deal for
sure.
both of them. It
Right.
sets him
Yeah.
up for
But
life,
here's,
whether he can play or not, and they're billionaires and don't care.
right.
So, I mean, it's a
That part
cool
of his,
deal, I guess, in that way, but
and let's be clear.
it doesn't necessarily make the team better tomorrow morning, in
No.
any way. To me, he's got to be able to play.
I disagree with that because you can't have multiple extensions and you can't talk about signing players to multi-year deals until you do it the first time, right? So, and let me be clear.
But
Eight
you got to make
years,
sure they can play. That's all.
I think this tells you what they think about him though, right?
Okay.
And let me be clear.
They love them
If
all, though. You love all your children.
you
I mean,
do,
the day Elias brought Adley up, he would have loved to have had
but
this deal.
Nestor, your argument is just to let everyone play out in club
No,
control.
no, no. If they had given this deal to five other guys that they've had in their pipeline.
But here's the difference. Most of those other guys aren't taking this.
Correct. That's the
And,
difference. Thank you.
but that's not a knock on them. That's the reality of when Jackson Holliday is someone who grew up the son of a major league outfielder who was a multi-time all-star and grew up extremely wealthy. And not that all their other players, and I don't want to make this, sound that I'm being negative towards Latin American ball players. No, not at all. But also recognizing the reality of how Latin America ball players are scouted and signed, and many of them come from very modest means.
You realize the only reason I have a radio station and a show and we're here is because of a Latin ball player who
Sure.
got screwed coming over to America in the 50s and 60s, who was one of the greatest players, was never paid right, like in any of that, and actually wound up in Baltimore because he wasn't being paid right and he was a malcontent in Chicago. So, like, getting what you're worth when you come from a different kind of background. That's the same story for any African American in a really tough
Sure.
circumstance in this country playing football or baseball with all this NIL money floating around. I mean, it's a tough circumstance if you're a kid who can afford to send your kid to Roland Park if somebody's waving $70 million around. It's a lot of money. You
Sure,
know what I
no
mean?
question.
Yeah, Brian
And
Billick had a lot of money, but when his daughter married a basketball player who was signing a 5-year deal with the Detroit Pistons for $70 million, a lot of money. It's just a lot of money. It's a lot of money to people who have a lot of money. So I'm not pissing on it, and I'm not pissing on Boris telling his guys,
sure.
stay in, stay in, stay in the way that Joe Flacco stayed in 10 years ago. Joe Flacco grew up in a row house that like Parkville. Joe's family didn't have anything. So it really is circumstantial to where your risk and
Sure.
your reward is. It's kind of like, I think about this a lot because, you know, I'm a music guy, right? And this is probably the greatest example I can use. I've got a lot of washed-up rock star buddies who know a lot more in their 50s than they did in their 20s. And when you're in your 20s and you're in a band and you got long hair and a record company, Mr. Big comes, whatever the contract is, you sign it because you're just like,
Sure.
got to get on a label. You got to get on a label. You take the first deal, and it winds up that every musician ever got screwed, right, by the man. And baseball worked that way forever. Doesn't work that way anymore. I mean, like, to be a Latin player who can play a little bit, and you've been called up 4 days, and you're 21 years old, and you've been busting your ass since you were 15 years old, and they wave 80, 70, $80 million in front of you, you take it. I don't think there's
Yeah.
any doubt about it. Like, this was a good circumstance for both sides.
Question.
I just don't, when I see it, it feels a little bit desperate on the Orioles side to get a pelt to say we've got something here that we're building because times are tough here. It's kind of like Trump looking around trying to hide the Epstein files. Like anything smells like better news. And I don't know if this is good news or not. It ain't my money. And I, to the point of belief in the kid, sure. But they could have given him $70 million 60 days from now too, and seen if he could play a little bit the first month and a half, and he still would have taken the money. In my opinion, it was a PR move by the baseball team,
I mean,
and it doesn't cost him any money right now. To your point, that cost him, this guy ain't even going to own a team in 30, 31, 30. He's going to be 82 years old. He didn't even like baseball. So it's not even his money. It's just that it's a note on a sheet of paper for the baseball team. And it's from the fans' perspective, we don't have to say when are they going to sign. So that's now no longer in our arsenal anymore. We can't ask if they're going to spend some money because Uncle David threw money at Posayo, and that's, it's no longer a topic. We can't take phone calls on that anymore.
fair enough. I mean, I reject the notion that it's just a PR move. I mean, I just do. Because I mean, there are lots of things they could have done if that's their concern, right? I mean, going back the last couple years, right? In terms of free agents, they could have signed all of that. I think this
I
was.
hope 2 years from now we're sitting here and he's hitting 298 with 18 home runs and he's
And
catching half the
I'm
time.
just like I'm just
If
the
he's
argument
that
you're.
guy, it's the greatest deal ever, and I'm not disagreeing with you. In the same way that signing Adam Jones and Markakis
You do
when
realize that all
Angelos got
these,
in on those guys was a good thing for the organization.
but you do realize that all of these deals that we see other teams signing around the league that we've been talking about, hey, the Orioles need to keep their own. They need to keep their own. In most of these cases, you have to sign them early at where there is still going to be
That's
unknown
San Diego with Tatis. That's Atlanta with
because you
Acuna,
get,
right?
I mean, you get 3 or 4 years into it, then they're only 2 years away from free agency. So then at that point, you're not really signing them as one of your own. You're signing them more so as a free agent,
Well,
right?
this kid can also just put his head down and work now. He's set for life.
Sure. And I still think there's something to be said that it does send a message to the rest of their young core. No, not that they're going to sign 8 year, $67 million contracts, but I think it does send a message that, hey, they did sign someone long term. Hey, this is someone that they didn't draft, but they signed for $1.3 million when he was 16 years old or 17 years old. And they've invested now in him, and they've shown belief in him. And I think it's something that isn't going to help you sign Gunnar Henderson right now. But if you're willing to give Gunnar Henderson $400 million in a couple years to keep him, then he might be a little more eager to listen compared to if you hadn't done that and you still hadn't extended anybody,
Well,
and
for
then it's
whoever
just in a
owns the team,
vacuum.
when they look down and see Bisaccia is a $15 million number, 30, 31, 32, that becomes more palatable in a $250 million
Sure.
payroll, which they better damn well have by then, or there's not going to be a franchise here. So, I mean,
Sure.
because they're going to
Well,
lose so much that they're not, nobody's going to come. So, and players aren't going to want to be here. So, they're really, as much as we're going to take a little nap on them, we're going to go to Buffalo next week, and it's going to be all football, 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 and all that. They're really in a pivotal, soft, cushy spot here the next 6 months to try to figure out that Moneybag says they have so much money and they're going to go buy pitching. And they still have all of this potential with the young players that they can win 105 games next year if they spend their money wisely in the offseason. I'm not betting against that. I don't think Elias is too dumb to do it. I don't think that Rubenstein doesn't have the money to do it. I don't know where the players are and the good fortune that is going to turn this around, but part of that is Bradish coming back. Part of that is Rogers looking like a Cy Young candidate. So All of a sudden, if Bradish comes back and Rodgers looks like this, they at least start next year if we can get Kramer and Bisaccia to get along, with, three guys in the rotation that you wake up on Christmas morning, Thanksgiving morning, and say, all right, Rodgers held his own. He's going to be an opening day kind of starter. Bradish is going to be there for us. Now let's get to work October 15th on making this team better by February 15th, right? I mean, Bisaccia was going to be on the team either way. Now, whether he's going to be good at this or not, or whether he's going to hit 185 and piss off pitchers every night with, from behind the plate, I didn't like the body language of any of that. I thought that was weird the other night. But nonetheless, I mean, they're a last place baseball team. They made some good news. This is good news.
It's great
I don't
news,
know if
yeah.
it's going to work out or not. That's all.
Well, and look, I mean, we also have to understand, in the same way we talk about the Ravens, who draft as well, if not better, than anybody, they're still going to have dud draft picks, right? I mean, you still draft some guys that don't amount to much, right? So let me be clear,
Well, if you
and
think over the next 4 years,
obviously,
Tyler O'Neill or Bisaccia, who's going to be more
I'm
productive
going to
and how
feel.
much money they
I
gave
mean,
Tyler O'Neill, right?
better be Samuel Basayo, right? I
So
mean,
they
it
piss
better be.
money away left and right. They really do. I mean, they give $8 million to relief pitchers who can't pitch. I mean, I saw Kimbrel show back up here this weekend, not for the Crab Cakes. He's still got
Right.
16, 18 million of their money from last year. So it, the money. I don't know. It's funny money to you and I when we talk about it. To Peter Angelos, it never was because he earned his money. To them, it's a payroll. To Rubenstein, at this point in his life, it's a ledger sheet, and he comes in and does his little Papel going in style wave or whatever, and takes a picture with Gunnar Henderson and shows off for Kyle Goon, whoever was in the room. But I don't know. I need to know he can play. That's the most important thing to me. Have him under contract, demand in the
By
room. Same
the
thing with
time you
Rutschman.
know that, though, that like it's too late to sign most of these guys then. I mean, that's my point. You have to take risk. I mean, this is no different than investments, like your investment portfolio. You're going to have some stuff, certainly, that is safer investments, but and obviously I'm talking about someone that would be in a much higher tax bracket than you or me. You're also going to have things that aren't going to work out. And you have some investments that, oh, that was kind of a dud. And oh, that didn't work. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean,
Jackson Holliday's people and Adley's people, even at this moment, Adley's people would look at this deal and call it a shit deal. Like, it's not a good deal.
sure.
It's a, it, you know what I mean? Like, Westberg wouldn't take this deal.
Oh, sure. And this is where we're in
Because they're all
agreement.
established now and they think they're going to make
Oh,
200 million.
I mean, in the case of Gunnar Henderson and Jordan Westberg, when you hire Scott Boras to be your representative, that's because you
You've
don't even
made
want
your
to talk.
statement.
You don't even want to talk about a deal like this, right? And in the case of now, could the Orioles have given this to Heston Kerstad a year ago or something like that? Sure. And then you'd be saying, oh my gosh, that. So to be clear, if you had asked me 6 months ago or, 2 years ago, let's say, because Basayo was starting to really get on the radar at that point in time. I mean, you were seeing what this 19, 20-year-old was doing in the minors. If you had asked me 2 years ago to rank the Orioles' young core, the projected young core over the next 5 years, in order of likelihood to be able to sign them to an extension, Bisaccia would have been at the top of the list because he is an international signing. And, a $1.4 or $1.3 million signing bonus is a lot different than being Jackson Holliday or Adley Rutschman, who got a huge signing bonus as a 1-1 pick. And, you're older, probably grew up, not that all these guys grew up wealthy, but probably different circumstances than Basayo living and growing up in the Dominican Republic. And again, these are generalities. We're not saying that every situation is going to be exactly like that, but he was always going to be the one that you had a better chance of doing this. However, until you've extended any of them, the question is, when are you going to extend somebody? Is this something you're trying to do? What's going on here? Are you just going to be like the Tampa Bay Rays and this is just going to be a roster turn and you're just going to trade these guys once they all get a year away from free agency or 2 years away from free agency? So when you do this with one of them, and look, they clearly told us they think the world of Samuel Basayo, because Mike Elias We've seen him be very risk averse, right? In most cases, until I guess until they signed Tyler O'Neill to a 3-year deal, right? Which, that was kind of a choice if you're talking about
Yeah, I
finally
thought the
taking a
Orioles were
risk.
risk averse, and then Ubaldo Jimenez shows up. So, I mean,
Oh,
and
no,
Chris Davis. I mean, they've done some
but those
wacky
are
stuff.
previous regimes, though. I
But
mean, let's try to keep
Adam
it in the
Jones was a
present.
good signing, and
Sure.
Markakis was a good. Well, I'm just thinking from a historical perspective,
Sure.
in the modern
Th
era,
this is the
we
first
haven't
time.
had much of this.
This is the first time they have extended a young homegrown Oriole since Markakis. And I think Brian Roberts got another extension, I think a month after Markakis. I mean, this was what, January of 2009. I mean, that's how long you're talking. I mean, Adam Jones belongs in that category, similar, but he wasn't homegrown, right? I mean, we know
Sure.
Jones was acquired from Seattle very early in his major league career.
But they
So,
still had to keep him and pay him, although
sure, no
it was
question.
like he was in their
No
organization.
question.
Yeah.
No question about it. And, I mean, Chris Davis kind of, sort of, Chris Davis was 25 when the Orioles, or 24 or 25 when the Orioles acquired him, right? I mean, he was still young and wasn't established. So,
He was very much in the Ryan O'Hearn school to
but he
me,
wasn't,
you
but he
know?
wasn't as old though, right? I mean,
Right.
O'Hearn's, on the wrong side of 30 at this point. So
Chris Davis had not failed when he got here.
even if we
Yeah.
count Chris Davis though, that even that was 9 years ago at this point in time. So it's been a minute. We're going to see how this works out. I think it was a slam dunk, no-brainer to do it.
What's nothing to even talk about if he's not getting $15 million for 5 more years anyway?
And
It's
the thing is,
not even a payroll drag.
and I will, I would reject the notion that an 8-year, $67 million contract, especially when you consider how backloaded it is, that's not going to be a crippling deal to a franchise.
Well,
It'll hurt, it'll sting, don't get me wrong. If aliens abduct Samuel
dude, if I'm
Basayo
his father
tomorrow,
in the Dominican,
but
he has to take the deal,
there's no
right?
question.
But also, he may live to regret that if he is a great baseball player
He
because he left some money on the table. But that being said, and especially as a catcher, because that's kind of wonky at 28, 29, trying to
yeah.
walk out and say, I'm a catcher. He'll be a DH by then. And, you know, but he's set for life at 21. I mean, I sit here and talk about lottery tickets, and I did a whole segment with Seth Elkin the other day on what we would do today if we hit the lottery. Well, I mean, $72 million as a 21-year-old, now all I've got to do is just go play baseball and be as good as I can be, which is all I've been doing anyway. I it's good peace of mind for him. It's good. I'm not saying it's
No.
bad business.
Oh,
I
of
just don't know if
course.
he can play. And I'll go
Right.
back to that and say, what difference does it make when the rich guys put the money out anyway, whether he turns into Luis Matos or not? I don't know. I've just seen so much failure. It's baseball, dude. I mean, you and I have been through this 20 years together. How many of these guys have gone? I mean, I always bring up Jonathan Scope because he wasn't a maybe or a might or he's up a week. Dude, he was doing it and then couldn't anymore quickly. And I don't
Yeah.
even know what the hell happened with him. Maybe the money for some of these guys, I don't know them. Maybe the first $15 million they get really just changes them, and they drink too much, eat too much, don't care enough. They more into their family, more into God, more into their toys. You know, all the toys that come with having money. Like, I don't know what happens to have a baseball player be able to do it at 26 and at 28. They look like they can't do it. I mean, Cedric Mullins is another, like, he was a trajectory guy, and now 30-30, and you know, he's a backup outfielder all of a
I
sudden,
mean,
instead of a guy making $20 million a year being Curtis Granderson, or you know, or I think of these comparable players. I don't know where to put a 21-year-old catcher who ain't a very good catcher, according to Dean Kramer the other night, and might not even be a catcher. But you're enamored with the bat. Elias is enamored with the bat. I'm enamored with the fact that it's not costing Mr. Rubenstein, if I own the team, anything for years and years and years. And I do come back to the beginning, which is a good PR move. It's a headline. They keep him around. Let's hope he can play. We'll talk about it 3 years from now if he can play and saying, man, that was the hell of a thing. Or, yeah, old man pissed away a little bit of money. What difference does it make? He pissed it away on Craig Kimbrell. At least this guy had potential. And I thought that about Jonathan Scope and other people. So I would have wasted a lot of money around here. I don't think I'm the smartest guy in the room. I'm probably much more conservative
Yeah.
in all of this because I've just seen so much failure of so many guys like Samuel Basayo. That's all.
Yeah.
Including Adley Rutschman and Matt Wieters, who
I mean,
weren't
I just.
failures, but I don't, you know, you would have been happy giving Wieters this kind of a deal. Boris wouldn't have been, but he wasn't worth much more than this in the end.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, I just think the argument you're making in that regard is an argument against signing anyone to an extension. I mean, I'll just continue to come back to
I
that.
just feel like it's early in the game, that's all. A week into his career.
I mean, I just,
But that's what you're saying, that's business.
but that's how you have to do this. I mean, okay, I'll hear your argument. If you wanted to wait 2 months, sure. Then I don't think very much of your evaluation process as an organization if you're so unknown and so risk averse that you need to see 100 at bats from
I
him in
don't
the
know,
major
dude.
leagues,
Look,
right?
this
I
time
mean,
last week it was Coby Mayo. A week before that it was Holiday. A week before that it was like for all of these guys are one ones. Kerstad, go through all of these guys. They're all
right.
they were all projected to be really good big league ball players that an 8-year, $67 million deal would be something that you'd love for them to take. Circumstances dictated that he take it. So I don't think it's any great tip of the cap to anyone. I think it's good business for both of them. Now let's see if he can play. And that's just down the middle,
That's fine.
you
But
know, for whatever they are.
I just think it's, look, there are we've taken plenty we've criticized them about plenty of things. Like, I would criticize the fact that why did they wait till Sunday or Saturday afternoon in the middle of a Ravens preseason game, and one of the last summer Saturdays period, when people were out having, instead of doing the press conference at 4 o'clock on Friday, when there was more oxygen for it at that point in time. I think they botched that part of it. But in terms of just calling it a PR move, I think that's a little unfair because the guy's really highly talented. Fans have been clamoring, and media have been clamoring
I
for.
think they helped their PR. How about that? I don't think it's a
That's
PR
fine.
move. He's a
Look,
good, you gifted young ball
sure.
player. I mean, you don't just give
That's
$67 million
fine. And
away, but
that's semantics then.
they
And
created a little headline for themselves over the weekend to get a little like we did
that's
something
fine. But
because
I don't
they're in a
think,
sea of doing nothing right now.
like, I don't, but I don't. I don't think that they did it with that in mind. I think that's a byproduct. And look, they can use that. I said it. I mean, I've written the last week at BaltimorePositive.com that they've made some good news here recently, and they've needed to because of how bad things have been on the field and how many of their 1A most loyal followers, Birdland membership people that they've ticked off and alienated. They needed some good news.
Well, they give the
So.
Palmer jerseys out, and it's 5-0 before Palmer can even get
Sure,
into the
sure.
booth.
And let me, since you brought it up, look, I mean, the Dean Kramer thing, let me put it this way. I think Dean Kramer is very particular about the way he likes things, and I'm guessing there were some hiccups with that. But I also know Dean Kramer also said, look, I mean, there's going to be a learning curve. He just got here. We've never worked together. But he also said, I can't leave pitches in the middle of the plate like I did. That's on me. So, I do think I think it was a bad look, just the optics of it. If that continues, then that's a way different
It's a
story.
struggling last place
But
team. This kid just got $70 million and
sure.
Dean Kramer's got eight or whatever. You know what I
Right.
mean?
So
So like there is a point where like all the kids showed up at the press conference for him. I don't know what that's even, I mean, like, I don't know. I'm not around it anymore. I smell it from the outside. It smells like an empty
I
room
think
that I should be in, asking
he's.
tougher questions than what people are asking, but what do I know?
I mean, I think, and look, I can't say what the current group that's been in the majors at least a couple years would say about him specifically. Everyone who knows this kid, this young man, they're impressed. They're also investing in the human being. And one of the comments that he made, he was asked, and this is when Kevin Brown and Masson had their quote exclusive on Friday in the pregame show, which again was not a cool move from the organization, period. As far as keeping him away from the rest of the media. But the question was asked who he's looked up to and who in his family has kind of, who have they pointed to as far as Dominican players or just players in general to emulate and kind of look at and kind of view as a role model. A guy that he brought up, Nelson Cruz. We know what Nelson Cruz meant to Manny Machado and Jonathan Scope. The 1 year he was in Baltimore, we know what Nelson Cruz, who it's funny, and you think about him, he had a PED suspension, a 2 years before, two or 3 years before
Yeah,
the
he
Royals.
came here with a tainted
It was,
reputation in that way.
but you look at someone who universally is beloved and respected around the league, not just because of the player he was, but also just the human being he
I
was. I think
love Nelson Cruz. I
yeah,
have his phone
exactly.
number. I didn't
So
even have a press pass, and he
I
respected
think
me.
so the idea that I think the idea that he mentioned him, and as much as they've just talked about from the moment they signed this kid back in 2021, he's just gone to work. And everything about his analytical profile as a offensive player screams that he should be a really, really good player. I mean, the bat speed. I mean, Mark DeRosa did a full segment, and Mark DeRosa is someone that, you know, I respect from a baseball mind perspective. Two days into this guy's major league career, he was doing a little video feature of what the bat looks like and what they think this kid's going to be. Now, he's 21. He just turned 21. That's not to say that he's going to hit 40 bombs next year right off the bat, but everything about it screams he should be at least a good to really good hitter. And he might be better than that. There's still questions about where he's going to wind up long term, as far as whether he's going to be a full-time catcher, or does this become more of a Victor Martinez kind of scenario where, go look, he caught and was kind of a part-time, part-time to mostly a catcher his first, 4 years in the big leagues, and then transitioned to first base DH. Or it might end up being like Carlos Delgado, who people forget started out as a catcher and very quickly transitioned to first base. I mean, he could be that, but you're at least going to explore that, especially now, Rutschman's on the IL with another oblique. So he's going to get some runway
Well,
here
in
to
an
cash.
organization that 2 years ago, when he's a 19-year-old kid, and we had Adley Rutschman here, the 1-1, there was no room for Basayo anyway, right? And like the whole thought was going to be like, if Adley Rutschman was going to the Hall of Fame as a catcher, was going to catch 125 games a year and hit 280 and be an all-star and be Buster Posey, that there wouldn't be space for Basayo in that way, that would have forced him in a different place. I don't know if he can catch a little bit the next 3 years. You're trading Adley Rutschman in the offseason. I mean, I don't know, but whatever feels unorthodox here, I would play into that a little bit, beginning with Bradish coming back and what they're going to have to do with their pitching and what they're going to have to compromise financially, or deal-wise or player-wise to be able to augment their pitching in the next 6 months, which is mandatory if they're going to
Well,
win.
they need to, but as I've also said, especially when it comes to now the bullpen. I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to be done to the bullpen. Good news is those moves can be made, right? I mean, it's not as though the best bullpens in baseball have eight homegrown guys in it, right? Like it rarely looks like that. But they're going to have to go out and get a couple high leverage guys. There's no question about that, and then some middle relief type guys. But I think you just kind of said it though. Even if Adley Rutschman were the star that everyone expected and wanted him to be, he's still only catching 125 games a year. So there's always, and this is, some people have asked, what does this mean for Adley Rutschman? I don't think it means anything for Adley Rutschman, but because it's still TBD whether Samuel Basayo is going to be any kind of a full-time or primary
Well,
catcher.
Adley Rutschman's 6 years older than him, right?
Well, sure. I mean, he's
So, I mean, if
27.
Adley Rutschman's healthy, Adley Rutschman should be running circles around this kid. Adley Rutschman should be in the lineup,
He is better
commanding the pitching,
defensively.
behind home plate, doing all the things that we expect the 1-1 to do en route to his $400 million deal or $280 million deal or whatever, because we fully expected him to be that kind of player. And I don't know what happened. I think it's nice having Basayo. It's certainly cushy. But I don't know who's going to be the catcher at the All-Star game next year.
I mean,
I'm
I
thinking
still
it's Basayo at this point.
I don't think they're going to trade Rutschman this offseason. I think that might be more of a next year kind of thing.
Well,
We'll
value's
see.
low on him. I don't know,
Well,
who's going to bet on
yeah.
him.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, plenty of teams would still take him because, and this is where I want to be fair to the entire body of work. His defense has been much better this year than last year. Offensively, it hasn't been as poor as it was the second half of last year, which was extremely poor. But it clearly hasn't gone in the right direction for the better part of 14 months now. And now maybe the biggest concern is he's starting to break down, right? I mean, has another
Well,
oblique
that's
injury.
just it. The next 36 months, who's going to be the better ball player,
Oh, and
Basayo or Rutschman?
well, this would also be where I point out their first two picks in this year's draft were college catchers. Now, Ike Irish probably profiles to kind of be like Basayo, where it's like Is he going to stick as a catcher, or are they going to, he's played right field. They haven't given up, abandoned him being a catcher. And
You draft these guys for their bat in the first
sure,
round, right? Yeah.
but that said, the second pick, the other catcher, he's much more of a, they like him, his defensive profile, and they think he'll hit, but not like he's not like the Basayo potential with the bat. He's much more of a, solid hitter, but really good backstop. That to me, those two moves probably in my mind more telling and more pivotal to Adley Rutschman's future than the presence of Samuel Basayo, and now Basayo having this extension, because you still look over the next 2 years, Adley Rutschman catches 110 games, Samuel Basayo catches 40 or 45, he plays first base 50 games, and he DHs the rest of the time, right? I mean, it's easy to project out that kind of a plan, and obviously an injury changes everything, as it just did with Rutschman going on the IL, but you always need two catchers. The Orioles are in a position now on paper, if we're talking about an Adley Rutschman renaissance next year, and we'd all love to see it. Is it going to happen? Well, it's to me, it's up to Adley Rutschman at this point in time. And part of this is you might need to get in better shape. You're breaking down with oblique injuries. That I don't mean he's out of shape, but he might need to get in better shape than he is right now. In the same way that anyone, when they go from their early to mid 20s to now, he's going to be 28 next year. He's going to be in his late 20s, right? Entering his late 20s, you got to take better care of yourself. And again, this isn't me saying he doesn't take care of himself, but you might need to be a little more vigilant, a little more rigorous in what you do. And that same, that applies to everyone. Lamar Jackson's entering that territory at age 28 compared to when Lamar was 21. I
Not
mean,
to mention Derrick Henry pulling the chains up the hill in
I mean,
Dallas.
it's the same way that you and I, when we were in our 20s, you could stay out all night and have a few adult beverages and you feel fine the next day. When you do that, when you're in your 40s or your 50s, that's a way different
Last
story,
Thursday night, I
right?
went to bed at 8 o'clock in Ocean City
Exactly. So
because Fager's Island was not
I'm
calling
not,
me.
I want to be clear in how I'm saying this. It's not to attack Adley Rutschman, but it's also like, hey, like this is your career and things aren't going well, compared to where you were a couple years ago, where, you were an all-star catcher and a fringe and guy on the fringe getting a few down MVP votes, right? Down ballot votes. So, if this serves as a message to him in some way, and I don't really think it does
Well,
that
Basayo just
much.
got more money than any of them.
Sure. But at the same time, this is also where I'd go back and say, to a man, any of these guys would probably laugh at that total amount. But that said, this also hopefully is evidence that the Orioles have attempted with some of these guys, and you need two sides to want to make a deal, right? And when Scott Boras, who doesn't represent Rutschman, but he represents Gunnar Henderson and Jordan Westberg, when he's your representation, you hire that guy to not sign a deal like this, right? So, and I would say the other thing that I want to at least mention here, because I think it's relevant to the conversation and the long-term health of the organization. We mentioned how this is a good move for both sides from the standpoint of Samuel Basayo gets generational wealth for himself and his family. No matter what happens with his career, he's now guaranteed $67 million over the next 8 years, including a $5 million signing bonus that is life-changing for
This
his
is
entire
like me
family.
winning a lottery, hitting the Powerball, and saying, I only won $80 million in Powerball. I didn't get the $750 million to death or
Sure,
now,
sure.
right?
And that's
Like, and
part of
feeling bad about that and thinking, no, I'm not going to feel bad about that, you
exactly.
know?
And the Orioles get cost control here. They bought out the first 3 years of his free agency. If he ends up being anything close to what they think he can be, that'll be good business, especially 8 years into the future. And here's the other factor here. Here's representation. You know how the international signing atmosphere is. I mean, the Orioles didn't even try for decades, right? They didn't even try. So this has been something that has been years in the making. They signed Basayo when they did. And you've now signed a Dominican player who was a teenager, developed him, gotten him to the major leagues, and his representation has gotten him a long-term contract, less than a week into his major league career. They now can go to 16 and 7, probably younger than that if we're being honest, Dominican prospects in and say, hey, look what the Orioles did. Look what we did for Samuel Basayo. This ends up being good business for them. This helps the Orioles' relationships continuing in the Dominican, and you hope that this will pay dividends. That in the same way that Samuel Basayo mentioned Nelson Cruz, you're hoping over the next 5 or 6 years that there are going to be other Dominican prospects who are going to say, "I love Samuel Basayo. The Orioles signed him a week into his major league career, and that's worked out great. And his agent wants to sign me." You're hoping this will pay dividends in that way. So, okay, I hear your PR, the PR element of this, and I'm not going to dispute it. I just don't think it was driven by that. But yeah, there are tentacles to this that you hope are going to continue to pay off for the organization, because you're hoping this is just the beginning, not some culmination as far as your investment in the international market, your investment in the Dominican. You're hoping that Samuel Basayo is the first of many over the next 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, because we know how many special players come from that part of the world. And the Orioles sat that out for decades, right? So this is a great thing in that way as well. And yeah, the agents benefit here too, because again, they can look at this and say, yeah, see what we did with Samuel? We can do the same thing with you, even though you're 15 years old right now. You're a couple years away from signing, but this is how this works. So there's that element as well that I think the organization does deserve some credit for in terms of finally making an investment in Latin America, and more specifically here, the Dominican, and looking like it's about to pay some dividends. And they've made some real investments. So
Well, the
that's a good
Astros
thing.
won a World Series with my cheating Venezuelan brothers. So, you got to get down there and get some of my people if you want to make the place better.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, right? In the same, I mean, we talked about this. I mean, the idea for years and years that they just deliberately cut themselves off at the knees by not playing that part of
Well, the owner
player.
was a xenophobe, but that's
Sure.
another story
But
altogether. So.
I'm just saying now to have invested there over the last 6 years and to have something work out to this point, and again, your point is well taken. Samuel Basayo has to perform in the major league level, but it's a good thing, and it's a good thing for all parties. And to your point, he's got security now. He's signed. He's locked up. The Orioles have locked up a young ball player. Sam, go play, right? I mean, it's that simple. Go play, and figure out. I still think, my long-term vision for him is probably still more first base DH long term, but with Adley Rutschman out of the lineup entirely right now, yeah, put him behind the plate and catch him 4 times a week, and let's see what this looks like. And yeah, there was some growing pains with the Dean Kramer look the other night, but he's got a good arm. And again, they love his work ethic. They love what this, how much this kid wants to be great. So we're going to see how that plays out. But to me, this was nothing but really good news for the Orioles on Friday. And now it's a matter of, hey, go play. Go be free. You're going to be here for the next 8 years. Go show everyone what kind of player we think you're going to be.
I think it's good news if he can play. So I'm just leave it at that.
Fair
And
enough.
I think it's a good PR in a last place year, and gives us another story that we don't have anymore, which is they don't sign their players. They signed one. They
They
signed the
did.
one they
You
could.
can't
We
sign
always said
multiple
that
ones.
they were never going to sign Rutschman. They were never going to sign Henderson at this point because of and Westberg because of representation. So they did what they could do, which I go back to the beginning of that. By the way, Kyle Bradish is going to be doing what he can do. Luke will be at the ballpark. We'll be monitoring all that. The Ravens are doing nothing this week, everything next week. So we're going to be around for that. I'm going to be eating a bunch of food this week. The Tastiness Tour, our 27th anniversary. I got my 27th logo up. I'm so proud of myself. It's all good. And my thanks to Jessica Vallis for making that happen as well. We're going to be at Coco's on Wednesday. Come by and see us. Sig's going to be there. Also, Ryan Dorsey, Councilman Ryan Dorsey. Never had him on the program. Having a lot of first-time politicals on the program, including a guy who's been a pal of mine, J.B. Jennings, Republican senator from Harford County, from Joppa, farmer. He was on the program at Pizza John's on Friday. So be listening in for that. Luke and I got you covered with sports and baseball. If you're on the WNST text service, you get breaking news first. All of it brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. And Bill Cole did an hour with me last week about Ocean City and networking and good stuff going on in the state. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.